listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everyone for jumping on the line with us today. We are excited to have a returning guest back who has been extremely popular with our podcast community. He's always a fun guy to talk to, and you'll learn a whole lot. And so that is what we're looking forward to today. We've got Chris Hoag, Captain Chris Hoag, who is with Big King Salmon Charters out of the Seattle area in Washington to talk about salmon fishing. So, hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Fantastic. Happy holidays, everybody. Yeah, looking forward to a great new year. How's everybody doing?
Well, you're in a Christmassy spot right now, being in Las Vegas. A lucky guy. You've missed the ice storm and the wind storm and everything else. And so you planned that just about right, Chris.
Well, we're just hoping to get back with everything that's been going on. Yeah. I just checked online about an hour ago, and everything's good to go, but you never know. So Keep our fingers crossed that the bird can fly.
There you go. Well, what is it? Southwest has canceled 5,000 flights in the last 2 days. I mean, holy moly, what a mess that's going to be for a while. But
too late to short that stock, my friend. That that train has left the station. But they've been canceling 60% to 80% of their flights for the past few days. I don't know if they're going to recover. And to be honest with you, I don't think they should recover. That's not a good horse to put your money on. So far, so good. Hopefully, everything's going to be all right when we get back home.
Well, cool. Well, welcome back home when you get there tomorrow. So, anyway, hey, we're going to talk a little about the 2002 salmon season up around where you were, and if you can kind of give us a recap of how that season went.
Well, sure. We start off our summer season in June with our resident coho. And depending on the year, it generally starts up around the 1st of June. This year and last year started around mid-June, and it started off a little slow. These guys were a little tough to find.
Right.
Might have been an issue with the weather, could have been the feed, where the shrimp and krill are at, and then they progress into herring. But once it started going for us around towards that third week in June, and then it started to pick up pretty good. But they were a little tough to catch at the first there. We didn't find good numbers of them, but they did turn on eventually towards the third quarter of June.
Right.
And then that moseyed right on into to our Chinook season.
Right. Let me ask you real quick, just because I wanted a clarification on it, just because your part of the world talks about resident fish. And so what is a resident coho to you?
Okay, so a resident coho, we call them resies or residents, and they hatch in Puget Sound. A percentage of them, a good percentage of them, never leave Puget Sound. Stay in Puget Sound for their entire life.
Oh, really?
Some of them, yeah, you'll have to look this up. Some of them will leave Puget Sound, obviously, and then they go out in the ocean, they do their thing, and then they come back as ocean coho in September at the end of their cycle. The big ocean fish. Now the ocean run fish, not all of them originated as resies. Some of them are coming down from Alaska. Some of them are coming from wherever they're coming from. And I'm not a biologist, so I don't know this.
Right.
But residents, we call them resies. They never leave Puget Sound. They live their life in Puget Sound.
That's interesting.
The same applies to a certain percentage of what we call winter blackmouth. Some of the winter blackmouth, the Chinooks, they live their whole life in Puget Sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there are Chinooks. You can catch a king anytime in Puget Sound. You just can't keep it.
Oh, really? Okay.
So they're out all they're there all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I think that a percentage of these originated as like the hatchery program.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just evolved into a place, you know, where they're just here all the time now.
Interesting. So Chris, you know, the resident coho are about the middle of June. And so what is usually the situation, or what was the situation in 2022 when you could start fishing for kings in the summer?
Well, generally our king season starts about July the 16th. So where we're located here in Edmonds in the Seattle area, there's two major marine fishing areas. One is Possession Point, Southeast Whidbey Island, which is Area 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Edmonds south down to Seattle, including Seattle until you get to the South Seattle, Tacoma area, Area 10. So each one of those areas has their own particular catch quota for Chinook.
Okay.
So generally our Chinook season starts up around July the 16th, and we will fish for them in either area. Area 9, which is the South Whidbey Island area, has a smaller quota and mm-hmm. has a much higher participation rate, guys that go out fishing for them. So generally that area eats up their quota pretty quick, in about a week or so.
Wow. Okay.
In Area 10, which is Edmonds south down to Seattle, our area generally lasts through the end of August, depending on the year. So,
okay.
But we've got coho available in Edmonds south of Seattle through that entire area. So generally what we'll do is we'll be running a line or two down, you know, for Chinook, and running, you know, some shallower line up for coho. So we're targeting both species. Now, generally Chinook are a difficult species to catch. A good day for Chinook is, you know, one, two, maybe none.
Right.
But this year was unexpected. This last year was one of the best seasons that I've had since I was a kid.
Really?
For kings. It was,
really?
It was, don't know why, it was phenomenal. I could count the trips on a few fingers that we didn't get Chinook this year. And there was quite a few days where we limited the boat on Chinook. Now, that's not saying that it's going to happen this next year,
right,
or in the future, but this year was a phenomenal year for Chinook. It probably was a whole bunch of factors involved: great ocean conditions, in Puget Sound and in the ocean, a lot mm-hmm. of feed in the water, which we were marking bait and herring schools like we haven't seen in a long time, and just probably a perfect storm that evolved in a great season for Chinook this year. Hopefully it'll keep going in the next couple seasons, but this year was fantastic.
That's great. What was the average size king that you were catching this year?
You know, I generally don't, you know, I'm not like a big like weight guy and everything,
yeah,
but a lot of them, you know, I would say 8 to 12 pounds generally was that ballpark. They're all about in that size generally when they're in.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of some guys that have got, you know, one or two in the teens, and we got one that actually we got a couple that didn't fit in the box at all.
Really?
So
wow.
Those were big boys and girls, but right around that 8 to 12 pound range.
Right. Okay.
That would be the average.
Got it. And then how about for coho this year? Where your cohos, of course, are smaller. Yeah.
This was a great year for the ocean run coho as well. Like I say, the June resident coho kind of started off a little slow, but it did turn on as expected there towards the third quarter.
Right.
This year the ocean runs were, I would say, if I had to, kind of average it out, I would say the quality was probably higher. The quantity was probably average.
Oh,
so
okay.
we didn't see a huge growth in the quantity of fish, but the quality was better this year. And I would probably attribute that, like I've told you before, Ted, I'm not a fish biologist.
Yeah.
But I would have to attribute that to the ocean conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said that the ocean conditions out there in the ocean were fantastic this year. A lot of food, a lot of bait, a lot of herring, and you know, the fish are going to go to the grocery store. And when the conditions are great in the ocean, they stay out there like you would. If your refrigerator is full, you're going to stay out there till you empty the refrigerator, mm-hmm. and then you're going to come in and go to the next food source. And that's what happened with the cohos. They stayed out there a little bit later because it was really great out there. And then they moved. They migrated in with the feed.
Uh-huh.
And the fish that we caught were extremely well fed. They were big boys and girls, fat, you know, wild fish, big hook nose on them. And a lot of the bait that I was pulling out of these guys when they were coming in to Area 10 were big horse herring. So they had been eating really good when they were out there.
Yeah.
And so I would say probably the quantity probably would have been higher if the conditions weren't so good out there on the ocean, which probably, you know, they probably stayed out there a little bit longer.
Right.
But when they got in here, they were the quality was fantastic.
Wow. What a great day. What a great year to go fishing, huh?
It was great. Yeah. I mean, when the thing about the coho is that, you know, when they make the corner around Whidbey Island there and they're heading south, or even if they're heading north, but the majority of them are heading south our way, they're not hanging in towards structure. They're out there in the middle in deep water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking, we're fishing in water that's, you know, 500 to 700 feet deep. And these fish are hanging, you know, earlier they're hanging on the surface. In the afternoon, later on, they'd be hanging 20 to 30 to 70 to 80 feet deep. Some of them, you know, maybe a little deeper than that. That's generally their area there. And they're just running up and down, schooling, heading north and south, heading east and west. And when you get into these guys, you hit a school of them, bam, 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 you're getting hit. And they're following, you know, the bait. They're attacking the bait. And when you get into them, it's pretty exciting.
Oh,
but these
yeah.
guys this year were big hook nose, really fatty, real juicy, top quality fish.
Wow. Wow. That makes for some happy fishermen, doesn't it?
And a positive thing this year, which I don't want to jinx myself for next year, but we didn't lose too many this year to the seals. Now, past couple of seasons has been a problem, especially towards the end there. When
yeah.
those seals figure stuff out. But this year, I think we only lost, I think we lost more than two to seals this year. But
wow.
They were hitting so heavy that, you know, it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Right, right. And how long did you fish in 2022?
Well, we fished our coho all the way through the end of November this year.
Wow.
I'm sorry, all the end of October.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and
a nice
that was for us.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So kind of projecting forward, there's some things that'll be a little bit different in 2023, won't there?
Well, this year in 2023 is going to be the bonanza year. We're going to have the pink salmon. And they come in every other year on the odd number years. We don't know the forecast for the pinks yet. We'll know that pretty quick when we get our season setting process done. But every year for the pinks is a bonus. The
right.
pinks is a bonanza year. People ask me all the time, you know, when's the best time to go fishing? When's the best time to go fishing? I tell them two things. Number one, when the fish are biting, and if you want to catch fish, the pink year is the year that you want to go.
Right.
The pink is a fantastic season because there's so many fish.
Right.
The volume is so high. And the commercial pressure on pinks is extremely low. It's a supply and demand curve for any species, but the more abundance there are, the less they're worth. So generally with pinks, a lot of the commercial guys don't go for them. And there's some factors there as far as, you know, commercial regulations and such, but It just leaves so many more for the sportsmen. And what happens if those fish that don't get capped? They reproduce, and then the next cycle, there's even more. So the finks is by far the a bonanza for sportsmen.
Wow. Wow, that sounds like that'll be a fun summer for you.
It should be fantastic. Like I say, I don't know 100% what the forecast is going to be, but it's always great. And if it's the bonanza year, it's even better than great. And, you know, like I say, we don't know yet, but we're going to have everything else, the coho, the chinook, and the ocean coho, and the pink. And when the pinks are coming in generally around that second week in August, that's just the beginning of the ocean run coho season. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have the pinks, and we're going to have these big boys and girls coming in from the ocean run coho, which generally, depending on the year, are about the size or about sometimes bigger than our summer kings. That's a fantastic time to
really?
Go.
Wow.
And don't knock those pinks. Because if you know what to do with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you take care of those guys in a timely fashion, you get them iced down, you get them filleted, you get them on the grill first couple of days, or you smoke them, that's fantastic table fare.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wow. Gosh, this sounds like a bumper year coming up. And so when you have two species of salmon in the water at one time, Is there a limit on the number, just the total number of salmon that someone can catch, or do you have a limit on both species? Like you can get four pinks and, you know, two coho or something like that.
There's always a maximum limit in okay. Washington. There's always a maximum daily catch limit. Now, in the past cycles, up until these past two cycles for the pinks, the limit has been four pinks, total of four fish. So you could conceivably catch two coho and two pinks for a daily bag limit of four, mm-hmm. or one coho and three pinks for a daily bag limit of four. The past couple of cycles, the daily bag limit has been two. So okay. It could be a pink and a coho, two coho or two pinks, daily limit of two. In 2023, we just don't know yet.
We're
going to have our season-setting process coming up here in the spring. It's called the North of Falcon process, and it's opened up for anybody that wants to take a look at it online on WDFW.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're involved in the season process, setting season process. Our charter boat captains are. But it's a little early to know what that's going to be yet.
Right.
But for most people, a limit of two is, you know, more than adequate, especially if you're in town for vacation. But we'll know that a little bit sooner when we get to the process.
Right, right. And you know, Chris, in regards to, in regards to all of this, the seasons, you know, coming and going or being monitored almost on a daily basis, isn't it? In Washington right now, there's a certain number of quota. Once the quota's hit, then they may, you know, shut down a season. But didn't you say that the coho there's really no limit on the number of coho, so they don't close those seasons down, prematurely, right?
Well, the department can do whatever, they will do whatever is best for the survivability of the species.
Right.
We really have this in-season management program. What it generally is affecting is Chinook salmon, and it's focused on the winter Chinook fishery mm-hmm. and the summer Chinook fishery.
Right.
The Chinook is the driver for the season in Washington State.
Yeah.
There are some rivers that have got some problems with returns. Not all the rivers, but there is a few that do. So it drives the season setting process for the state because these fish mingle together.
Got it.
Generally, though, the the resident coho salmon season is not an issue with them, or the ocean run coho, and definitely not the pink. It's more of a Chinook issue,
right?
During the winter fishery and that summer Chinook. Like I say, in Area 10, our Chinook summer season, they're generally, we go through the end of August and never hit a quota on that. It's more of a Area 9, Southern Whidbey Island area factor there, because that's where all the fish go. That's their salmon highway. They're all coming in, they're funneling through that area, and they really monitor the catch for them.
Right.
But through most of Puget Sound, though, we have generally a fantastic fishing opportunity through the whole summer.
Oh, absolutely. So for those people that have never been to your part of the world or out on Puget Sound, when you think about salmon fishing, a lot of people think about going in, you know, going out into the ocean, into the big waves and surf and that sort of thing. And that just isn't the case. Fishing out of where you're at in the Seattle Edmonds area, it's very protected water, isn't it?
Yeah, we're very fortunate here for a couple of reasons. One, we've got the mountains, and we've got Puget Sound here, which is protected, you know, by the Olympics, and protected on both sides there. Now, don't get me wrong, it can get windy, but generally speaking, for the majority of the year, it's generally very calm. Mm-hmm. We get our choppiness, we get our bad weather right about now. Right. We're going to get it now, December and January, and then it's going to calm down in February. And then in the summer, it's usually fantastic all summer long. You may get a windy day in there, here or there, but it's nothing that you would be concerned about.
Right.
But in Puget Sound here, we've got, and fortunate to live here, I don't think there's any other place where, you know, from where you live or from your hotel room, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you can be out on Puget Sound. You know, from wherever you're at, you know, 15 minutes to a half an hour, you can be in the city.
Right.
And an hour from wherever you're at, you can be out in the middle of nowhere, out in the mountains. It's just fantastic. And then we've got, you know, the city of Seattle, which is the epic, the, you know, one of the major tourist attractions for, you know, the country, if not the world. There's tons of stuff to do there.
Right.
And one of them is fishing and being in the outdoors, you know, with me and my compadres.
Right.
It's a fantastic place to live. I'm very fortunate to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that is so cool, you know, because a lot of people are thinking, gosh, I don't know if I should, you know, take Dramamine, or I don't know if I should go out on a stormy day, but you just don't have those where you're at, especially, fishing.
You know, I always tell people, you're not going to need the Dramamine on Puget Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had people get sick on our boats a few occasions, and, you know, there's been occasions where it's been of their own creating.
Right.
And there's been occasions where, you know, I had one particular girl, she had like a little ear thing that, you know, that made her feel creepy. But I always tell people, go ahead and bring it. Go ahead and take it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to hurt you. It's a psychological thing. You're probably not going to need it. But go ahead and take it. There's probably a placebo effect to taking Dramamine or bringing that stuff with you. But I don't think you're going to need it out here.
Right.
It's pretty tough to get any sort of, you know, craziness on a flat day when you can see the land and see shoreline. What really gets you that motion sickness is when you're out on the ocean, get these huge swells, there's no sight of land, and that's what gets you going. Now, I've never been seasick myself, but in all the years that I've been doing this, I can count on a couple of fingers where you know people have felt uncomfortable out there.
Right. Oh, that's cool. So what is a day like for somebody that books a trip with Captain Chris? And what kind of boat do you have, and what should they kind of plan for when they come out fishing with you?
Well, we're 28 foot, 11 foot wide boats.
Wow,
and we've got nice luxurious cabins to get out of the weather on a cold day. You've got a nice warm cabin to get into. on a hot day, you've got a nice cool cabin to get into, plenty of fishing space. I've got a real bathroom, real toilet, real sink. So, you know, no porta potties. The ladies will like that. Heck, I like that myself. Mm-hmm. So all you really need to do is, you know, dress accordingly, check the weather the night before, or the morning before if it's an afternoon, and just dress accordingly, whatever you feel comfortable wearing. We have very moderate summers here and very moderate weather year round. So the winters are not, you know, particularly chilly. The summers are very moderate. We very rarely get the really hot, you know, 90 plus degree temperature. I tell everybody, just bring whatever you want to eat or drink, dress accordingly, wear soft sole shoes. You know, you need to bring your sunscreen, your hat, your sunglasses, your camera. There's a lot to see out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our resident orca killer whales here. We've got gray whales that come in frequently. We've got the humpback whales that are starting to come in. They generally come in around the end of June.
Right.
So we never used to see those, but we're seeing those more frequently. And a lot of other stuff to see, bald eagles, a lot of sea life. And then, of course, there's the excitement of, you know, having a hot fish on the line and getting them in the net. And then, you know, when you're done fishing, you know, we've got beautiful restaurants here in Edmonds, lot to do. We've got the old Milltown, which is a destination all to itself. You can spend a whole day in Edmonds just on itself. So lots to see here.
Wow. That is cool. That is cool. And, you know, the opportunity to catch, you know, the famous, salmon in Puget Sound and that in itself, I mean, it isn't like you just hook a fish and it rolls over and it plays dead and you get it in a net. I mean, there's work to do there, isn't there? I mean, it's fun to fight.
Oh, they're fighting for your life. I mean, Ted, if you had a 3 or 4-odd hook in your mouth, you wouldn't come in easy.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd be fighting your life.
So true. So true. And the kings, they'll take you to the bottom, and the coho, they're kind of aerialist, aren't they? I mean, they jump.
And after all that, you know, you're not just catching some, you know, something that you want to throw back. You're catching a, you know, not only a trophy that's, you know, experience of a lifetime for yourself, but it's just one of the most fantastic tasting dinners you're going to have,
right?
Is Puget Sound salmon,
right?
Be it king, coho, or pink. I mean, they taste fantastic.
And you know, one of the things our listeners should take advantage of is that you're actually a professionally trained chef. And so not only can you teach them how to catch a fish, but you can talk with them after they get the fish on board and about how to prepare it and how to cook it in a way that, you know, it keeps its flavor and just, you know, the ambiance of the fish itself. And, you know, that's a bonus all on its own.
Absolutely. I'm not going to cook it for you, but I will definitely tell you what to do with it. And lots of recipes up on the website.
Yeah. And then you have a market or something up the street from you where the fish can be cleaned and packed and iced and shipped. And that's a real convenience, isn't it, for people that are here on vacation and are looking to get their fish home.
Yeah, for sure. I clean all the fish on the boat.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And we'll bag them up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend that. And when we talk the night before, you know, before the trip, I'll remind people to bring some extra ice, because ice generally, you know, it goes quick. I mean, I can bring pounds of ice, but, you know, by the end of the day, you know, we're going to need more. So I always remind people to bring some extra ice.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to ice them up after they're clean. We're going to toss them off to you. You know, give you links to all the recipes you might want, you know, on BigKingSalmonCharters.com.
Mm-hmm.
Pull them up there. And feel free to call me, too. You know, my God, if the pan's too hot and you don't know what to do, I get calls all the time. Oh, what should I do? But don't be afraid to call me.
Right.
Just up the street on your way out, is a fantastic fish market, and it's on my website. It's called Kuzma's. There's a link to it right there. And this is a authentic Japanese market. They've got everything. It's world class. They've got everything you could ever imagine, anything seafood there. But what they do for me is you can take your ketchup there, and if you're from Dallas and you want it back in Dallas, you know, day after tomorrow or whatever, they can pack all that up and get it right to you. They've got everything there. You want it anywhere in the country, they can send it.
Right.
Now, they've got all the packing material, and it's a professional operation. I send a lot of folks there, and everybody's been happy.
Oh, that's great. Plus, I would imagine if you wanted some of the other seafood delicacies that are native to that area, they probably have some of those they can put in a box with your salmon, of course, for free, and you can take a little bit more of the delicacies home with you.
Well, we're over there at least once a week for clams and mussels. But
oh, yeah.
I mean, when you pass the pokey section, all the fixings are there, and the tuna there. One of my favorite things to do here at the ranch all the time is we do ahi pokey. I do that maybe every couple weeks. I'll do a nice batch of ahi pokey.
Oh, and that is so good. And it's absolutely delicious. Well, very good. Very good. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for taking out your time during these holiday seasons. I know that you're traveling and enjoying yourself, but sneaking away and giving us a little bit of your time has been our pleasure, and we really appreciate that. How do people get a hold of you if they want to talk with you about the upcoming season and book a trip?
Well, they can hop on to BigKingSalmonCharters.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can give us a call at 425-776-7688, and we'll get right back with you, and we'll get you on the books here for a fantastic 2023. It's going to be hot.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, man, thank you again. You're just a wealth of information. Very good friend. I appreciate all your time, and I wish you absolutely the best 2023 season ever. And tight lines, my friend.
Wish you guys all the best, too. And happy holidays, everybody. Be safe out there. And we'll see you next year.
There you go. Thanks again, Chris.